Dear audience, welcome to the Conscious Wellness Show. I am Raymond Morris, your host. On today's show, we are honored to have two important guests. At 5:25, we'll have Dr. Sylvia Wood. Actually, it might be more like 5:30. And her guest occupation is a complementary alternative healthcare practitioner and many other modalities. Too long to mention here, but we'll go through that during her interview. And next, we have Jim Strohacker from wellpeople.com. He's an e-health and e-wellness pioneer, author, speaker, educator, and wellness visionary. He's been around for a long time in the world of natural wellness. He's a speaker also, and he has focused on bringing fundamental wellness principles from the world's great healing and spiritual traditions into mainstream cultural awareness for over 35 years. CEO of Well People, his passion is exploring the essence of human well-being and working to stimulate the emergence of a global culture of well-being. Drawing upon over four decades of experience in the field of human potential, wellness, spirituality, and holistic health, he has been a leader in the wellness revolution via coaching, training, publishing, and e-wellness. Jim was co-author of Health World Online, also known as Healthy.net, the world's first major online network for alternative health and wellness, launched in early 1996. He is co-author of the Wellness Inventory, a whole person well-being program at wellpeople.com, and a highly regarded wellness inventory coach certification training, certifywellness.com. The Wellness Inventory program has been utilized in universities, corporations, hospitals, with the military, world-class spas, and by over 500 wellness coaches. Professionals from over 35 countries have completed the certification training. As founding vice president of Future Medicine Publishing, he served as executive editor of The Classic and Influential Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide, of over 600 copies in print, co-author of five books, including Natural Healing for Depression, Solutions for the World's Greatest Health Traditions and Practitioners, with, I believe, Peregrine Publishing. He has collaborated on or contributed to over 15 titles in the field of natural health, human potential, meditation, yoga, and world spiritual tradition. He is the creator and publisher of Healthy Update, a weekly e-newsletter on wellness and integrative health, and it's in its 24th year. So there's much more to say about him, but I think I'll let him tell you the rest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jim Strohacker.
Thank you, Raymond. I should have provided you with something a little shorter.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Good. So, well, what would you like to share with our audience today for their benefit?
Well, talk a little bit possibly about our whole person model and whole person well-being, and a little bit of the history has sort of brought us to the work that we're doing. So, it's interesting, if you go back to 1948, when the World Health Organization put out its definition of health, where it said that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease and infirmity. And in my estimation, that's really like the beginning of the wellness movement, because they were really trying to establish what health really is from a body, mind, spirit perspective. But apparently there weren't a lot of people listening. And as you notice, they had to have the caveat that health is not merely the absence of disease and infirmity, because that's basically the way that our healthcare system, our medical system, has really been looking at that for well over 100 years. And pretty much, I think, how we as citizens view health, sort of like an on-off switch. If I'm not sick, I'm healthy. You know. So there was a doctor, Dr. Halbert Dunn, who was the director of the U.S. Office of Vital Statistics back in the 1950s, and he's considered to be the grandfather of the wellness movement, and he was also a World Health Organization consultant, and he was really perplexed. He used to write in journal articles back in the 1950s, why is it that we doctors only talk about levels of illness? Why is no one talking about levels of health? And he developed what he called his high-level wellness concept, which really, I think, was his attempt realizing that the World Health Organization's definition of health wasn't going anywhere, I mean, in terms of public consciousness or healthcare system. So he had to come up with another concept. which is really identical to what they, the World Health Organization called health, but he called it wellness. And he wrote a book that was published in 1961, which is really like the sort of lodestar of the whole wellness movement. And in his first chapter, he describes wellness as an integrated method of functioning whereby an individual is able to maximize their potential to function effectively in their given environment. And the integrated method of functioning in his whole person model was body, mind, and spirit. And if you notice, he talked about maximizing our potential to function effectively. That was his definition of wellness, that if we're able to integrate body, mind, and spirit and use that as a way to maximize our own potential to live fully, that we're going to be able to experience ever higher levels of health and well-being. And that's going to take care of a lot of the issues around what was also later called prevention, which is sort of a related concept because it's talking about preventing a negative outcome rather than, as Senator Barbara Mikulski once said, really what we're trying to do is to create wellness. You know, so which is very positive. It's much easier to motivate people to have a positive outcome rather than to avoid a negative outcome. And that's a lot of what's been discovered, I think, in the coaching world and behavioral health, is that for so many years, all sorts of professionals, behavioral health professionals, medical health professionals, have tried to teach and tell people what to do. And it sort of goes in one ear and out the other because, you know, we tend to act on our own ideas and often tend to dismiss others. So with the way that we really look at human wellness and human well-being, a good friend of mine, Dr. Travis, who invented the model that we use, which is called the Wellness Energy System, I could bring it up on the screen in a moment. I was very inspired by Dr. Dunn, and he had just completed his residency in Johns Hopkins, and he developed, after completing his residency, and being inspired by Dunn, he opened the world's first wellness center in 1975 in Mill Valley, California, and developed the wellness inventory, which was the first ever wellness assessment, and also the whole person model, the 12-dimensional model that we use as the sort of organizing principle for that. So, and interestingly, Dan Rather with 60 Minutes here in the U.S. Came to interview Dr. Travis in 1979 and talk about wellness, because today wellness is omnipresent. So nobody, the word is used so loosely, people don't even know what it means anymore. But when Dan Rather came, his first thing was wellness. Now there's something we don't talk about, you don't hear about too often these days, because the term really wasn't being used.
And today, if I may interject, the allopathic wellness or allopathic medical industry uses that term now too. They, from the last 10 years, I've noticed they're starting to use it more and more.
Absolutely. I mean, it's used everywhere. I like to differentiate when you're talking about wellness between what I call disease model wellness and whole person wellness. And the disease model wellness is sort of what you would get in a corporate wellness, like the typical corporate wellness program or their prevention initiatives. They're basically trying to prevent bad behaviors and bad outcomes, which is fine, but it's not really wellness. And I describe it as like the circle, like a whole person model becoming a square where it gets sort of dumbed down, and the key things that are focused on are how do we lower healthcare costs, you know, how can we prevent illness, how can we manage illness that we currently have, like say in our company, to lower healthcare costs, but it's not really motivating people because the people involved feel like they're just sort of pawns, you know, that they don't really care about me, they just want to lower my healthcare costs, you know, so that the company doesn't have to spend so much money. So it really comes back to, you know, what is the incentive for wellness? And usually can sort of smoke things out if you look closely enough, that where something is really more a disease model approach and calling itself wellness, whether it's you'll find, you know, places for Botox and laser surgery calling themselves wellness centers. So, you know, there's no copyright on the term, so it's used. A friend of mine told me they saw wellness auto repair in Costa Rica. So you,
okay,
pretty much pretty broad spectrum of how the term is used.
Yeah, well, that's like the word spa and many other words. Once they become trendy, then people misabuse the significance.
Yeah. So with sort of fast forwarding, we took that original whole person model and whole person assessment with Dr. Travis, and we wanted to create an online program. He wanted to create a program that would also allow people to begin to take action, not only just to get the awareness from the assessment, but also be able to take next steps. So we created a comprehensive program. And so the program is used, as you mentioned, with everything from spas to the military, to the college classroom, to hospitals, to wellness coaches, and a lot of other faith communities and all sorts of applications. And the beauty that we found is that there's a huge hunger in the U.S. and also in Canada, and actually really virtually every country around the globe for wellness. And it's sort of happening in various levels of evolution. So there's been more happening in the U.S. It's been sort of the center of the wellness movement. But virtually any country you go to, there's now people beginning to create like their own wellness institutes and really trying to find a way to improve human well-being for their population, to help to support a culture of well-being, a culture that really helps to makes it easier for us to make good choices and to be happier and to not be swimming upstream when we're attempting to improve our health and well-being.
Sure, and there are some countries that are ahead of the States when it comes to offering combined holistic approaches with conventional medicine. So there are countries now, India, Mexico, Thailand, where you can go to a hospital and receive massage therapy and psychological consulting and various other things all in the one place.
Yeah. Well, America has not been very stellar with alternative medicine or integrative medicine because there's lots of resistance.
That's right.
From the medical community to implementing that. There is one, we've done some work with one hospital system that I have a lot of respect for in Wisconsin. That's actually Aurora Healthcare, that's actually integrated alternative modalities or integrative modalities into the different departments rather than trying to have like an integrative medicine center, like one place where people come. And it's right. Be working really well. There's very little resistance to that approach. I know that a lot of the original integrative medicine centers had to be subsidized nonprofit organizations and fundraisers because they weren't making money. I'm talking about the ones at universities and hospitals and whatnot. So America has had a very hard time in sort of supporting it. It is growing quite a bit, but you're completely right. A lot of other countries don't have the same bias towards it. And really, really are much more supportive.
So tell us about your program. How does it work? What are people going to learn?
Well, what happens is probably would be good for me to show the whole person model. So let me see if I can do a share here.
Yep, we got it up.
Okay, there we go. So our whole person model, I'm just trying to get back to the original slide. Okay, so this was a model that was created in 1975 by Dr. Travis. It was really the original, it was the basis for the original wellness assessment. So this is the whole person systems model that looks at 12 core life processes. The first being self-responsibility and love, which is really the essence of wellness, because if we don't feel that we're worthy of putting the time and attention to be able to take care of ourselves, and if we see that, I mean, all too often we think that, well, I put myself last because, hey, I've got to take care of everything else, and at the end of the day, I just don't have time for self-care. But what we begin to understand is that, if we don't have gas in our tank, If we don't have energy, we're not going to be able to effectively do the things we need to do and to help the people we need to help in our lives. So originally this was called the wellness energy system from the perspective of looking at human energy and how we bring energy into our system on a daily basis and how we output energy. And all too often, we're outputting a lot more than we're actually bringing in, which so eventually we begin to have symptoms, we begin to lose energy, and quite often, which has become an epidemic now, we burn out, and which can have its own health consequences in addition just to making us, you know, sort of non-functional. So that was one of the focuses here. But I really like to look at this from a perspective of just the core life processes, so that, again, with self-responsibility, love, and self-care really being sort of the foundation, then you look, you have the things that every human does on a daily basis. You can't get much more fundamental than this in terms of our own conscious awareness. We breathe, we sense, we eat, we move, we feel, we think, we play and we work, we communicate, we experience intimacy, we look for meaning, and we transcend. And the transcending dimension talks about the simple overcoming of obstacles. Am I going to have a piece of apple pie a la mode, or am I going to have an apple right now? What's my choice? If you're familiar with flow theory, the sense of being in the zone, being in a state of flow, and also just the spiritual dimension of our life. And to give an idea how core this is to us as human beings, imagine a newborn baby. The very first thing that happens when a baby comes out into this new environment, the baby has to be able to breathe to survive. So breathing starts immediately. The baby starts to sense its external, this new environment. The baby begins to move, begins to have affect or feeling, begins to have thinking or cognitive processes. This is trying to sort of take in this environment. Begins to attempt to communicate with its mother. And at some point, the baby is going to get hungry and is going to need to eat from its mother's breast. And just so real quickly, you see that, like, literally right out the chute, we're doing all of this. This is fundamental. And because it's so fundamental, it tends to be off our radar screen. So most of us don't think about our breathing. We're not really that aware of the thoughts we're thinking. We just sort of identify with what goes through our head. We don't really think about our feelings. We might think a little bit more about what we eat, although that's often a big struggle. We like to look the other way when we want to do what we want to do. And the same thing with moving. We tend to be maybe a little bit more aware of how much physical activity we're getting. So as we become a little bit more aware of each of these areas, we can begin to, as Dr. Dunn said, begin to maximize our potential to fully. And I want to give like a simple example. Just take the dimension of breathing. So if we put that in the center of the wheel and imagine that we're in a workshop and we're doing a breathing practice. And at the end of the breathing practice, we ask people to raise their hands and share, you know, what they've experienced. And one person might raise their hand and say, well, you know what? My sensory awareness is really heightened. I see more. The colors are more vivid. I hear more. I'm taking in more about my environment. And the next person raises their hand and says, wow, I've been very anxious this week. And I noticed that the more that I breathe, the more my anxiety began to melt away. And right now, I just feel very emotionally, I feel very peaceful and solid. Person raises their hand and says, I've been having a lot of negative thinking. I've got a couple of problems that are really on my mind, and I haven't been able to sleep at night, and my mind's going all day long. With each successive breath, I noticed that my mind began to become more focused and began to quiet. Because with breathing and thinking, it's like a mathematical equation. When the breath is calm, the mind is calm. That's why it's been used for millennia with yoga, meditation, so many martial arts, and so many other forms. And I could continue around the wheel, but you sort of get the idea that here we're doing one simple self-care practice that doesn't cost us anything, and we're getting multiple positive benefits. And actually go all the way around for all 12 dimensions, but don't have time to do that now. But you sort of get the idea. So maybe you're taking a morning walk, and beyond the fact that you're thinking I'm getting cardiovascular exercise, there's lots of other things that could be happening in terms of your sensory awareness, your breathing, your mind, your thoughts, feelings, communication with people that you meet on a daily basis. We refer to this as the holographic growth process, small steps impacting the whole. And when people have the frame of reference of the wheel, they begin to see the interconnection of the dimensions and realize, well, I'm doing this breathing practice that doesn't cost me anything, and I'm getting all these benefits. So now I'm more motivated to continue with it because I'm seeing more results. Otherwise, I might have said, I feel pretty peaceful, you know, which is great, but that might not be enough to really motivate me to really go forward. So one of the fascinating things that people get into in our certification training, and that's for people who want to use the program professionally and also to become a certified wellness coach, we go much deeper into this. But even people using our online program are able to assess themselves in all 12 dimensions, find out which are the ones they have the highest scores and which are the ones that might be lower, and whether they have sort of a fairly round wheel that could roll, or whether it's really jagged, and get a little bit of better sense of how they're living. And they also learn which of the 12 they're most motivated to improve, which really takes them into the rest of the program in terms of creating action steps, small steps for continued improvement. Then the small steps methodology is really being proven time and time again. And there's researchers at UCLA and Stanford that are really into what they call either the small steps or the tiny steps approach in terms of effective behavior change. Because often we set the bar too high when we're wanting to do things to change life. So instead of saying, I'm going to take a 15-minute morning walk 2 or 3 days a week to start, we might say, I'm going to do an hour morning walk 7 days a week. And we may not have the time or the ability to put that off. And then when you don't do it, then you fail and you feel bad. And then you say, well, geez, every time I try to change or improve, you know, I'm not successful. So then your sense of self-efficacy suffers. So the small steps for continual improvement, which is really sort of the core of our program.
Jim, we've got about 5 minutes left, so I just want to make sure you get across who this is appropriate for. Maybe the different types of.
You mean in terms of the end user?
Yeah, in terms of the people who would do the training. So mentioned, and then secondly, just quickly take us through. I believe you said it's online, but how does that work online? Over what period of time? And you know the sort of the Great. Different things that go on online.
Well, I'll start with the second one first. So with the wellness inventory program, we just go to wellpeople.com. They're able to use the wellness inventory for a full year. They're able to do a pre and post assessment, and also they're able to, on a monthly basis, to reassess any of the dimensions that like to reassess and track their progress. There's an action plan to create action steps to track their progress. There's a virtual coach, which is that we built into the software, coaching questions to help people when they're stuck and to get clear on what it is they want to do or to improve their action steps. And then there's a journal and then a whole range of self-care practices for all the 12 dimensions that people can do in order to improve their life over time. Now, if they're working with a wellness coach or like part of a workshop or a workshop series, it's even more effective. There's more contact and more communication, but people are able to take the wellness inventory themselves. It's also used in college classes. So college students absolutely love it because they're learning about themselves and how they're wired, sort of like their internal operating system for the first time. So the program is really intended for anyone who's looking to improve health and well-being. And then the certification training is meant for professionals. They might be behavioral health professionals or health professionals, or they might currently be a coach, a life coach. But people come from all walks of life, and many people come through career change because they've always been passionate about wellness. They've been 20 years in the corporate world, and they want to do something that's more meaningful. So the certification training is a two-part training, a 14-week and a 7-week training. It's all done live online, so you can do it anywhere in the world through your computer with two live instructors. And through that, you can become either a certified wellness inventory facilitator or a certified wellness inventory coach. And those who become a certified wellness inventory coach qualify or they're eligible to be able to sit for the exam to become a national board certified health and wellness coach, which is a new designation for the last few years that's done in conjunction with the National Board of Medical Specialties. So the field is really growing and changing for the better. And so we're very happy to train coaches, but primarily also to be able to provide the tool of the wellness inventory for those coaches or facilitators to be able to use with their clients or students or employees, whatever the relationship might be.
And I imagine that has very practical applications that they can immediately implement. I see there's something called wellness inventory licensing. What's the difference with that?
That's for people who've gone through the training, and sometimes for people who haven't, who can qualify. That's someone who wants to use the wellness inventory professionally, so that basically allows you to have access to wellness inventory subscriptions and an online interface that allows you to authorize your clients or students to use the wellness inventory. You're able to track their progress, view their scores, interact with them. So that's basically for a professional who wants to use the wellness inventory, or for an organization or institution who would like to use it with employees, staff, community, whatever the...
Actually use the material. I think that's why it's called licensing, right? They can use the material.
Not like a state license, for...
Yeah, sure.
Health professionals.
Yeah, it's more of a... People. More of a copyright license to use the material directly, yeah. I presume. Okay.
Like a business relationship. Yeah.
Sure. And I see you got a few maybe free things on the website for people who are just wanting to get an introduction. You got a newsletter and free webinars. What's available for free for people who will go to your website?
We do webinars once a week, and we have three webinars that we do. A Creating Wellbeing webinar, which is more focused on our whole person model and the wellness inventory program with a live demo, as well as having an overview of all the different types of applications, ways the wellness inventory can be used professionally. Becoming a wellness coach talks about coaching within the context of an overview of the wellness inventory certification training, and then enhancing student well-being is intended for the college audience, for a college instructors, deans, as well as for people involved in student health services, counseling, or wellness, for a university. So people can sign up for those at wellpeople.com, or if you're unable to attend, you can email us through the site to get on-demand version. And then we also have a newsletter, the whole person newsletter, which comes out monthly, which provides lots of cutting-edge new content, the things that are happening in the wellness world, and then also sort of a window into our program.
Excellent. Well, we're coming to the end. We got 30 seconds left. I just maybe you want to take off the share screen there so people get to see your lovely smile just before you go away. I invite people to go check out your website at www.wellpeople.com. And is there any other coordinates that you wish to share, Jim?
I'm trying to figure out how to stop the screen share.
Okay, it's not too crucial there. Is there a phone number or an email people can contact you?
You can reach me at 310-823-9553. That's a direct number. And then jim@wellpeople.com, which you can see on the screen, is my email, and wellpeople.com is the URL for the website.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to share that with us. If people have questions, they can contact you on those coordinates. And, well, we look forward to having you on again. It looks like you could have done a couple of hours without any problems, Jim.
Well, I really thank you for the opportunity. It was really fun just to talk about this, and thank you very much.
Look forward to having you again. Take care. All the best.
Pleasure.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Everybody be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Next, we got Dr. Sylvia Hood Washington. I'm just going to give you a little information on her biography. Dr. Sylvia Hood Washington, she's PhD, ND, MPH, CLT, LANA, BCTMB, HCCP, RYT, dash 500. So I don't know if you people all know what those acronyms mean. I know what half of them mean. That's a start. She's an interdisciplinary trained and board-certified lymphatic therapist and complementary alternative healthcare practitioner Born with congenital lymphedema, she is dedicated to working with patients suffering from lymphedema, lipedema, chronic venous insufficiency, chronic edema, and those with compromised immune systems and suffering from diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and diabetes. Dr. Sylvia also holds green complementary and alternative medicine to support environmentally sensitive populations, those with asthma, bronchitis, lupus, etc. Dr. Washington is a formerly trained epidemiologist, a Healing Touch certified practitioner, and a formerly trained as a naturopath with a doctorate in naturopathy, and a certified lymphatic therapist through lymphology. So she has also been certified through the National Board Certification for Therapeutic Massage and Bodywork. That's quite a long list of modalities. You must have spent most of your time in school, Dr. Hood Washington. What else would you like to share to us about your experience and competences?
Well, my journey is not so much getting an education. My journey is getting well, and getting well without using allopathic medicine. The lymphatic system actually is part of the circulatory system and is the system that is in charge of your immune response. It's one of its functions. The other function is to help the venous system and artery system, because when we walk around, when we breathe, when we sleep, we function, our heart is constantly pumping blood. Blood comes out of the arteries and it discharges from the left side of the body and returns, and it's giving nutrients, oxygen, to all the parts of the body. Now, I'm also an engineer. I used to be a NASA engineer, so I like describing this because I have a master's in systems and control engineering. We're talking about systems. And a lot of people we see now, especially people who are older, baby boomers and now Gen Xers, we see a lot of people who are swollen. And people think that I was just born with fat legs, or I'm getting older, and that's just my body. Well, actually, it's not. It's actually a function that you have a lymphatic disorder. And so what I do as a certified lymphatic system, as a certified lymphatic therapist, CLT is a certified, is the Lymphatic Association of North America, certified lymphatic therapist with the Lymphology Association of North America. And what we're trained to do is one of the few natural techniques that boosts the body's microcirculation and circulatory system. And in doing that, we actually enhance the flow of blood and enhance the lymphatic fluid that is created out of the venous and arterial systems, which causes a swelling and pain. So without using any kind of pharmaceuticals, without using any kind of surgery, lymphatic therapist actually helps boost that circulation in the body, and therefore reduce swelling and reduce pain. We'll do yoga. I just heard your other speaker. I'm a naturopathic doctor. Actually, I'm interdisciplinary playing. I'm trained. I have a master's in public health. I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm an epidemiologist and a former research associate professor at UIC School of Public Health. So we know that the body has an immune system. We know that the body tries to protect itself naturally. And instead of going in and using pharmaceuticals, using surgery to help that system function through its immune system, we're actually manually moving that fluid.
I have a quick question for you before I forget. I was doing some self-lymphatic massage, and I was reading about the whole lymphatic system, and I understand that it's kind of the sewage system of the body. It probably has other functions. I mean, it's eliminating toxins and other things through the lymphatic, or
I mean, I love when people talk, it's not just a sewage system.
Right.
It's not. Actually, the word lymph was created, comes out of the Greek research thousands of years ago. Lymph actually means water. It's the water system of the body.
Okay.
What do we think about water? Water is life-giving. Sure. We drink water, it feeds our cells, it feeds our organs. The lymph system is helping our body function. By having this, and actually the lymph itself is a watery type substance. It's protein rich, and it comes out of the venous system. So as the veins and arteries are pushing the blood through to feed the cells and organs, it's actually leaking. And that leakage is actually becoming lymphatic fluid. that fluid is protein rich. And it runs parallel to the venous system. It's running from distal to proximal. It's running from the bottom of the body, your feet. It's going uphill. And it's trying to get back into the heart through the subclavian veins. This, right above your collarbones, mm-hmm. are your lymphatic terminals.
So that goes back into the blood there.
So it goes back. It's coming back up. It's taking all the leakages from the arteries and veins. It's purifying it through lymphatic nodes. You usually have bone, meat, bone, where your kneecap, your patella, your inguinal nodes, which are right by your hips. It travels up to the center of the body through the thoracic duct. The main lymphatic trunk is called the thoracic duct. And it actually terminates right here above the collarbones. And it empties back into the heart, a cleaned up fluid that goes back into the heart.
Okay.
And that system, we know about, people hear about T lymphocytes and B lymphocytes. Mm-hmm. The word is lymph.
Okay. So, yeah, that means there's a lot of disinformation out there about how that really works.
A tremendous amount of disinformation.
Yeah.
When you go to conferences at Harvard, which I've gone to, Harvard and University of Chicago, they have these, they're now having these major lymphatic conferences because physicians themselves get about 15 to 20 minutes of training on the lymphatic system, mm-hmm. medical doctors. It is the lymphatic therapist who gets over like almost 150 hours of concentrated training on the lymphatic system. It is not, and having been a full professor of physics and chemistry and biochemistry and teaching for almost 20 years, we know, as I know as a former professor, that that's not taught in the traditional academic setting. That's something that they're now trying to enhance. And it's a very fascinating field because it's that bridge between allopathic and naturopathic medicine. Because we're trying to boost a system that controls our immune response. We're trying to boost a system that reduces inflammation. We're trying to boost a system manually that will take the pressure off nerve endings and cause pain without adding a pharmaceutical, without cutting through the body.
Sure. So,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I have this clear and the audience is clear. So, the lymphatic system both does some detoxification.
Absolutely.
And is it also circulating micronutrients like proteins?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a clogged pipe.
Mm-hmm.
If I turn on my faucet and I want to drink water and it's clogged, I'm not going to get the water.
So, my last question. What happens to the toxicity that it's managed to remove in the various, I think, lymph nodes? I mean, how does that then get removed out of the body if it's doing some detoxification?
There's multiple ways in which we eliminate.
Yeah.
The skin is the largest organ for elimination.
Yeah.
That's perspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Perspiration, when you actually are moving lymphatic fluid correctly, the patient wants to eliminate. You go to the bathroom. My patients immediately go to the bathroom. So they'll urination, defecation, perspiration. And then especially when the lymphatic system is running throughout the entire body. And I was close trained by Gunter Close, who brought lymphatic training into the United States in 1987. So one of his sequences, we actually clear all lymph, even in the cranium.
Mm-hmm.
So patients who will just suddenly say, "Hi, Dr. Sylvia, I've had sinus issues," and all of a sudden we're moving lymphatic fluid, and they're just like, you know,
yeah, it's flowing.
It's coming out the nose, it's coming out their hand, because we are actually unclogging that system and then letting it eliminate through the skin.
So are you saying the lymphatic does some emptying in the colon and some in the kidneys, or
if it's done correctly, it is.
In
the proper term, this is actually sort of interesting. This is one of the few natural body techniques that's covered by insurance.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of misinformation out there because we're talking lymphatic massage. Actually, not called lymphatic massage. In the medical community, allopathic role is called manual lymphatic drainage.
Right.
And it's a coded medical procedure, CPT 97140. And if a patient is properly assessed by a certified lymphatic therapist, yours truly, we send our medical notes to an allopathic physician who writes them a prescription. So imagine getting a prescription written for yoga. How awesome would that be?
Yeah.
My patients get to have a prescription written for this manual therapy, which has been developed over 100 years, almost 100 years.
Sure. Well, thank you. I've had some lymphatic drainage massage, and but thank you. You've cleared up how it all works. I was a bit puzzled, I have to say. So go ahead. What else would you like to share with us?
I think that especially we're seeing that we go to the conferences. One of the things I find is fascinating is that there's like chronic disease and acute disease. Now, if you have, you get hit by a car, that's pretty dramatic. But if you fall down, you get hit by a car, there's going to be blood rushing to that injury site. And it becomes red, inflamed. And that's normal because that's how the body heals. But if that does not heal within like a six-week period, you really have to step back and say, am I dealing with a lymphatic disorder? Because that increase of blood to that injury site increases the amount of lymphatic fluid. Because remember, the lymphatic fluid is actually coming out of leakages from the arteries and veins. If it's not clearing and it's sitting there, and it's all of a sudden it's becoming hardened. It becomes hardened because lymphatic fluid is protein rich and is not moving through the piping. Mm-hmm. And so now it starts to accumulate other cells that makes it hard. And now you have a lymphatic disorder. It's not because you're just like, oh, I have fat legs. No, you actually have a lymphatic disorder. You actually need to see the lymphatic therapist and help them clear that blockage. And you just can't go down the street to your Asian massage parlor and have them do a massage to clear that. You actually have a sequence in which to open up the lymphatic channels, create a negative pressure, and actually create a vacuum and suck that up distal proximal back into the heart. So you really, my people who are watching, really need to go and find someone who's beneath their names all my credentials, which you rattled off, CLT, a certified lymphatic therapist.
So is dehydration a major cause of slowdown in the circulation of the lymphatic system?
Well, if you talk about dehydration, if you're talking, everybody needs to be hydrated. Okay, so that if I put on my naturopathic hat, most people are dehydrated.
Yeah.
You don't have enough fluid to move your blood and your lymph is not going to function properly. So, of course, you want to be hydrated, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an actual substance called lymph, which is protein rich, which is coming out of leakages from your arteries and veins, the piping that is used to then be cleaned up, take antibodies to the proper parts of the body, and get that cleaned up fluid back into the heart. So this has to do with an actual system. Instead of thinking of veins, the venous system and the artery system as a circulatory system, they now know based on research and publications that you actually have a third part of the circulatory system, which is the lymphatic system, which can be moved by hand or by a pump. We can do yoga and increase lymphatic flow. We can do Thai yoga, which increases. Thai yoga is brilliant for increasing lymphatic flow.
Did you say Thai yoga?
Thai yoga. You have reflexology for lymphatic drainage by Sally Kay out of Great Britain. So it is basically a mechanical system that we're actually using to move with our hands or by movement.
Yes, because it doesn't have its own muscles and pump, if you like. It's all
moving. The only pump in the body that's moving fluid is the heart and moving the blood in the artery system.
And the muscles moving the body, movement of the body helps to move around the lymph? Yes. So our sedentary life habits, of course, are somewhat responsible for the increase in problems with lymphatic circulation.
PEMF devices, pulse electromagnetic field devices, especially the Beamer that was created out in Germany, is excellent as a alternative and natural way of accelerating the circulatory system, which the lymphatic system is part of. So now in my clinic, I use the Beamer because it promotes microcirculation, and they've demonstrated that. And they have incredible documentation through Beamer showing how the circulatory system is boosted by the use of this electromagnetic field technology, which they got out of NASA. And it is non-invasive and natural.
So it works by emitting electromagnetic fields at certain frequencies and pulses, or?
Yeah, what Beamer did is create a device which actually mimics the electromagnetic field, natural electromagnetic field of the Earth, which all sentient, all organisms need to regulate their bodies.
Excellent. Is that available in the States?
It's available. All you need to do is find a Beamer distributor. I'm one of them.
Okay.
So you can just Beamer, and Beamer has a headquarters in California, Carlsbad, California. Just look up Beamer, B-E-M-E-R.
And is it appropriate to ask you what price range these instruments are?
Well, I mean, if that's what you want to do, I mean, I'm not trying to push it, but a Beamer device you can buy yourself. You're supposed to use it twice a day. It's the retail price is $59.90. Some people can't afford that. So a lot of us who are clinicians have it set up so a person can just come into our clinic.
Sure.
On the Beamer without having to purchase it.
Okay. That sounds interesting. We're obviously, technology is finally coming up with a lot of, well, I wouldn't say finally, but I think it's finally being allowed to come into the mainstream or the mainstream world of holistic medicine. So that's great to hear.
You know, as a naturopathic doctor, what we always are trying to do is to optimize the function of the body by delivering or optimizing the nutrients that go into the body, and by optimizing the function of the body through movement to promote that circulation. Manual lymphatic drainage does that. The Beamer does that. They're all micro circulation type devices and methodologies. It's moving fluid, whether it's blood or lymph, through the system to feed our organs, our cells, and optimize health.
And also, I believe that you have a specialty in dealing with people with inflammation related problems, which is probably also
good. Inflammation is from the back of, I was just trying to say that inflammation is from the backup of the lymphatic fluid when the body is trying to heal itself. For instance, I have a very rare disorder. I have lymphedema disachiasis. That's genetic. Elizabeth Taylor had lymphedema disachiasis. I have triple and double rows of eyelashes. That's an actual genetic anomaly. And that is what they call a positive marker. That's a true positive for lymphedema disachiasis. The very presence of a person going in the mirror and they've had look in the mirror and they've had eyelashes constantly or intermittently grow into their eyes, you know, stray lashes, and that's consistent. That's actually a genetic anomaly and is an indication that you actually have a imperfect circulatory system, a lymphatic system. Mm-hmm. So you'll have people with higher rates of congestive heart failure, higher rates of risk of diabetes. And so all the visits to an allopathic physician won't matter if they're not addressing the fact that you were actually born with a imperfect lymphatic system and circulatory system. And so there's actually imaging that a person can get called a lymphoscintigraphy. They actually have MRIs. This is a field which has been overlooked, and they're trying to get people caught up. People think they can't lose weight, especially if they have a primary lymphedema. You have women, it usually appears in a lot of women when they're pregnant, and all of a sudden they're very thin before they get pregnant, their first pregnancies, and all of a sudden they swell up, the legs swell up, and then they say they have baby weight. That's not baby weight. It's usually a lymphatic disorder. And then all of a sudden women get varicose veins because the body now is processing a larger amount of volume of fluid, which it never processed before. And they're actually experiencing what they call mechanical insufficiency of the lymphatic system. And so now after the baby, you can't lose the weight, your legs are, you're swollen, you're in pain. Your body just went over its maximum capacity mechanically. And now you really do have lymphedema in stage one. Because lymphedema occurs in four stages, 0 through 4. 0, you just feel uncomfortable. A lot of people go on an airplane and your legs swell up on the airplane, that's actually a sign of your lymphatic system being overloaded. It's not pumping back to the heart. It's not clearing. Mm. So that's why they're telling a lot of people to get compression garments. You see it all the time now. Wear your compression garments when you take a flight. Well, if that's something that's consistently happening, if you're going to rule out a deep vein thrombosis or chronic venous insufficiency, you're looking at a lymphatic disorder, and you need to have it treated on an ongoing basis and not with medication, of course.
Is cellulite related to lymph accumulation?
Cellulite is related to lipedema. Lipedema, L-I-P-E-D-E-M-A. That's what you call is an abnormal formation of fatty tissue. And lymphedema can be related to the cellulite. And what you need to do is that lymphedema, there's like a superficial level of the lymphedema system and a deep lymphatic system. Superficial lymphatic system is a few millimeters beneath the dermis of the skin. And when it's dysfunctional, you form cellulite. And so you need to find a lymphatic therapist to help you move that fluid manually. And you need to have a lymphatic therapist who can give you the proper garments who will break down those blockages beneath the dermis of the skin of the superficial lymphatic system.
And how's fascia therapy or myofascia related to lymph? And is it something that's useful or is it?
The lymphatic system is a web. It's like the lymphatic system is like a web. It's interwoven through the superficial. The superficial lymphatic system is interwoven through the fascia.
Okay. But it's still not the same kind of therapy.
It's not therapy. The same therapy. You actually have to get a certified lymphatic. Yeah. We actually have to open up your lymphatic lymphatic regions of your body. Mm. We actually are trained to do a sequence. You're not going to get that in fascia therapy.
Right.
That sequence. They're not going to open up each, they're not opening up the terminal lymphatic nodes. They're not opening up each of the regional lymphatic nodes. They're not sequencing to let you do superficial lymphatic movement, and deep lymphatic movement. You actually need a certified lymphatic therapist. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we got about 6 minutes left. Maybe you can explain to our audience what services you offer. I mean, solutions. Do you have an office? People come and see you. You have courses online. How does it work? What is it that you offer people?
I have a 3,000 square foot clinic that I own, and it's dedicated to people with lymphatic disorders. Everything from people who have cancer survivors and their lymphatic nodes have been removed to stop metastasis of the cancer, to people who've had injuries, a car injury or a major car injury, and they've been crushed, because just being crushed can damage the superficial lymphatic system. So I do have my own clinic on Naturopathic Lymphatic Wellness in downtown Aurora.
California?
We have 4 treatment rooms. This is downtown Aurora, Illinois.
Illinois, okay.
So my patients can find me www.sylviahoodwashington.com. And I'm also a licensed medical equipment supplier for the state of Illinois. So we actually not only move lymphatic fluid, but we also give them the compression garments, which everyone with lymphatic disorder should never have lymphatic fluid moved and not go into compression afterwards. So the major lymphatic schools certify us in complete decongestion therapy, which means that we're taught how to move lymphatic fluid. We're taught how to tape and wrap your body. So that once we move the fluid, it won't resurge back.
Because it can have a tendency to be reabsorbed or go back down the tubes that you pushed it out of.
There are people making money hand over fist. They'll relieve the swelling and the pain, but they won't put the people in compression garments to keep it back. And they'll have patients come back to them over and over and over again with the same condition, because they never gave them complete treatment.
Yeah. And so this is available in Illinois. Is there anything people can do at a distance?
International. This therapy was took off in Europe. I mean, it started in Europe. Boldy Clinic in Germany. There's many clinics that are much more advanced in the United States. And their lymphatic therapists are, accepted in the hospitals. We have lymphatic therapists here in the United States. But I had to take a board exam, the equivalent to a board exam, to become a CLT LANA therapist, which means not only am I certified, but I'm certified for North America. And there's a definite shortage of us in the United States. In fact, one patient was given her insurance gave her permission to come see me, Blue Cross Blue Shield, because they couldn't find a certified lymphatic therapist to treat her lymphatic disorder is within 150 miles of her. So we are definitely a rarity in being certified and accepted within the allopathic community. So it's a very interesting
discipline. That's quite exceptional.
And it's paid for by insurance.
Excellent. So we've got about 2 minutes left. Is there stuff that people can just do at home to help with the lymph system? Is there certain stuff that people can?
You can go to YouTube. So you can go to my. You can go to YouTube. You can look for my YouTube or other YouTubes and look under manual lymphatic drainage, and they can do self manual lymphatic drainage, and they can open up their terminals, open up their deep lymphatic systems, and we actually teach our patients how to do that. The problem is that the lymphatic system runs on the front of the body and the back of the body. So you can do that to yourself in your ventral part of the body, but you really ultimately need to be seeing a lymphatic therapist who can do both sides. You actually need to have a lymphatic therapist because, like I said, the physicians, are most of them do not understand it. They're not recognized, don't recognize the symptoms. They rely on lymphatic therapists as their subject matter experts. So people, when they see this swelling that doesn't go on to go down after 6 weeks or 3 months, should look for a lymphatic therapist. Let the lymphatic therapist make an assessment of them so that that lymphatic therapist can write them a medical note. Make sure the lymphatic therapist has a license to touch and make sure that they are certified by recognized schools for lymphatic therapy in the United States. This way they can get into a medical system, which I do for my patients, and then they have a prescription to do an actual natural body technique that's going to boost their health, be consistent with their commitment to natural health, and not get them into the nightmare sometimes of pharmaceuticals and surgery. Because if you don't control it, it's going to go down that route. And if you have a venous disorder, you're looking at possibly a deep vein thrombosis. And have someone who understands these symptoms, which is why I'm an epidemiologist. And I use every degree I ever learned on my patients.
Is there any way you can multiply yourself in your clinic so that more people can have access to it?
I was a full professor of physics, and I've been asked to teach this. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty mature for myself. So for my, I should be retired by now, but I'm not. I'm actually going to you can go to Close Training or Norton School or the email Vodder School, but there are schools that exist. The problem is that they're not always integrated. I think my background makes me unique as an engineer and an epidemiologist and a lymphatic therapist. And I am considering offering courses for people in the future. But right now, I'm just trying to be out there and help people.
That sounds like a good idea. Last question that just came in my mind. I think I saw something about diabetes. Are you helping people with diabetes with this? What's the relation between two?
With diabetes, okay, is it, you have to talk about whether it's type 1 or type 2.
Yeah.
And of course, diabetes compromises the circulatory system, the vascular system. So if you have swelling in your lower limbs, you need a lymphatic therapist, you're going to say, who's been trained in differential diagnosis for swelling. We have to recognize whether this is lymphedema, or this is swelling from diabetes, whether this is swelling myxedema from a hypothyroidism. So we have to know what is causing the swelling. And diabetes causes swelling, and it causes cardiovascular issues. Now, I don't want to get too deep into the diabetes, because if you start developing neuropathy and you start having vascular destruction because of advanced diabetes, you're going to have a lymphatic secondary lymphedema that stems from your diabetes. And you have to have a person who's a professional who knows what they're looking at.
Sure. Well, that's great. That was a good, concise answer. Well, thank you very much. I'm just going to share your website and let me know if there's anything else you want to share. So we have N as in Norman, P as in Peter, 4lymphaticwellness.com. So that's NP4lymphaticwellness.com. Is there any other coordinates you wish to share?
No, I think they should just go to www.sylviahoodwashington.com.
Okay. That's easier.
www.sylvia, spelled with a Y, hoodwashington.com.
Okay. Does that take us to the same website, or are there two different websites?
Yes, that is the website.
Okay. All right. So my apologies there. I thought this was...
No worries.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. That was very useful information, useful for me personally too. And look forward to having you on at some point in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sylvia. All the best. God bless you. Thanks for all your good work. Bye-bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our show. We would like to thank our show technician, the great and one and only Donald Newsom, and our show sponsor, Community Marketing Communications, wellness marketing experts in strategic marketing planning, website design, directory specialist, and new revenue specialist for large portals. Visit them at communionmarketing.com. If you would like to sponsor the show or advertise during the show and get great exposure within the wellness community, please contact us for more information on our packages. And if you wish to be interviewed, it's also the same contact information. You can contact us on 514-798-2737, 514-798-2737, or raymond@bbsradio.com. You can also reach me on Skype. Raymond Morris is my username. And may the grace and the blessings of the Divine Creator be bestowed upon each and every one of you. Your host, Raymond Morris, and also wishing you a great new year, 2020, full of prosperity, happiness, joy, and serendipity. I'm out for now. Till next week, take care.